الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وله الكبرياء في السماوات والأرض وهو العزيز الحكيم وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من تواضع لله رفعه الله صدق الله العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين الحمد لله رب العالمين respected علماء کرام beloved elders and brothers we had been discussing that destructive and despicable and contemptible spiritual disease and malady of pride and kibr we had mentioned how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the holy Quran the incident of iblis and incident of shaitan how he had become shaitan aba wastakbara wa kana min al kafirin He refused the order of Allah and he became proud and arrogant and he became from those people that were kafirin. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. The mashayikh write that this is such a despicable disease that many people have this disease and they are not aware of this disease, like we had mentioned. It's so unique. Person feels, no, I have no pride in me. But that person is full of pride. And as I mentioned, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has told us that if a person has We had mentioned last week a mustard seed, but actually if you go to see مِثْقَالَ ذَرَّةٍ مِنْ كِبْر ذَرَّة is actually in one iota. It's much more smaller than a mustard seed as well. Mustard seed is completely small and minuscule and tiny, but this is an iota, even smaller, an atom, much more smaller than a mustard seed. If that amount of pride is found in me or any one of us, Allah Pak save us, then Rasulullah ﷺ says he won't enter into paradise. This is how destructive and detestable and detrimental this disease is. And Rasulullah ﷺ also mentioned, like we mentioned in the hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that greatness and majesty is my clothing, so to say, my upper garment and lower garment. Whoever wishes to snatch it away, then adkhaltuhu fi an-nar, I will enter him into the fire of Jahannam. Or qazaftuhu fi an-nar, adkhaltuhu fi an-nar, or qazaftuhu fi an-nar. I will fling him into the fire of Jahannam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about this punishment, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has all the power. وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ عَلَى فَوْقَ وَهُوَ الْقَاهِرُ فَوْقَ عِبَادِهِ وَهُوَ الْقَادِرُ عَلَى كُلِّ شَيْءٍ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the power and majesty and might to bring any type of destruction to us and any type of azab to us, whether from the top or from the bottom or from wherever, or making us fight amongst ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us from this which becomes the cause of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's anger. The mashayikh have mentioned many signs. These signs are mentioned here not so that I look for it in my Muslim brother, but I look within my own bosom whether these signs are found in me. And if these signs are found in me, then the experts, the spiritual doctors, the mashayikh mentioned that we have pride. And one of them is this, when a person has pride, then he gets involved in self-admiration. He becomes involved in self-admiration and he has a self-conceived notice of self-esteem. He has a notion in his heart of self-esteem that I am very good. And because of that, what happens? The result of that is this, that a person begins to refuse and reject the truth, which was one sign Rasulullah ﷺ had mentioned. We had mentioned to you last week that when a Sahabi said, Rasulullah ﷺ, O Prophet of Allah, when a person likes to wear good clothes and he likes to wear good shoes, Rasulullah ﷺ said Allah Ta'ala is Jameel, full of beauty, and he loves beauty. What is kibar and pride? That a person regards himself. Batrul haqq wa ghamtun nas. Batrul haqq is to despise or reject the truth. To reject the truth. When the truth is presented to before a person, he begins to reject the truth. This is the first sign of his pride, or the first component of pride. And the second one is ghamtun nas, is to despise the people. To disregard the people as low and contemptible and to belittle the people for whatever reason. For whatever reason, a person begins to belittle the people, he treats them with contempt, he looks low upon, down a person. And we had mentioned the reasons last week, either because of his wealth, because of his color, because of his social standing, because of the namas that he possesses, because of his ilm, because of his piety, etc. He feels this person is not as pious as me, he looks down upon him. This person doesn't have my complexion or my color or my language, then he looks down upon him. This person does not have that standing in society that I have. I am held in high esteem and regard and respect. He looks down upon that person. So this is pride. So here, our Mashayikh mentioned that one of the signs of pride is this, that a person becomes so obsessed with his own opinions and with his own suggestions, etc., that he rejects the truth. He rejects the truth, he is not prepared to accept the truth. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgive me and all of us, we find this to be found so many times in my life. When a person tells me something which is the truth, then it is not what he is telling me, it is who he is telling me. That person is my worker, is my student, is my wife, is my subordinate, not prepared to accept it. Now this is pride. Because the truth is presented to me, but I'm not prepared to accept the truth. Why? Looking at the person that is saying it, and you are just my worker, you are just an ordinary person, you are just my wife, you are subservient to me, you are my student, you could have no right to tell me this. If it is the truth and fact, then we should accept it. If you don't accept it and we reject it, and Rasulullah says this is pride. So we find many a time the person, the opinion of the ulama kiram or the haqq is presented before him, and he says, no man, I'm not prepared to accept this. Sometimes he says, Meri samajh mein baat nahi aati. I cannot understand how this is, you know. Otherwise, he holds his opinion and his stance to be more superior than the truth, and he rejects it. So this is pride. Another sign the Mashaykh mentioned of pride is this, that person begins to look down upon the next person. Either his view, his opinion, his way of life, his dressing, his looks, for no reason whatsoever. May belong to another country, may belong to another culture, may belong to another group, because of this person's color, because of his language, because of his way of dressing, because of his ways, he looks down upon them. He despises them, he belittles them, holds them in contempt. This is pride. Person can only do that when he thinks himself to be superior. I think of myself to be superior, then I will look down upon a person. Look at this person. So often we hear it, he's from a certain country. Look how they behave. Look at these people, how they speak, etc. Looking down upon them. Looking down upon them, as I mentioned, some aspect of their lives, their opinions, their views, their ways, their food, their dressing, their behavior, etc., to look down upon them. This is also pride. Mashaykh mentioned so beautifully, that person that is afflicted with cancer will never look down upon that person that has a flu or has a cold. Why? Because he regards himself to be worse, in a worse of position than that person. Similarly here, if I regard myself to be despicable, to be low, to be insignificant, to be humble, then I'll never look down upon the next person. Why? Because I regard myself as the most humblest person, the most insignificant person. But yes, when I have some sense of superiority and I have some sense of self-esteem, then I will regard that person as low, his clothing, etc. Another sign the Mashaykh mentioned, this is for me, firstly, to look into myself whether these signs are there. If the signs are there, then I will become concerned that I have pride within me. It's to backbite and to find faults with other people. For no shari reason to backbite people, to belittle them. Backbiting is what? To regard a person as more inferior than me. I talk about his faults. I talk about those things that he dislikes. I talk about something bad that he has done to my next Muslim brother, so that that person regards me as superior, more superior than this brother, and looks down upon this brother because he has carried out certain action. And we should remember, when it comes to backbiting, then it is not a false attribution that you are making. Something that's absolutely true. Did you hear? So and so has done certain action. And it's absolutely true that he has carried out this action. But still it's despised in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So despised that Allah ta'ala tells us that does any one of you like to devour and eat the meat of your dead Muslim brother? Of your dead Muslim brother, it is so bad and so abhorred and so detested in the sight of Allah. But yet, we find, Allah ta'ala forgive me and all of us, we find, and many of us, we find justification. No, this person did this. Even if he did that, we have no right to belittle that person, talk about it to somebody else. To backbite a person, and to find faults in a person without any valid excuse, without any justification from the Sharia. Why I say justification from the Sharia? Sometimes a person is a teacher, sometimes a person is a ruler, sometimes a person is a judge. He has to bring about decisions, and obviously he has to investigate the matter and find out what was the problem. But for no apparent reason, person indulges in backbiting, in finding faults, which is so rife in our community and our society. Allah Ta'ala forgive. Something happens, everybody is blowing his trumpet everywhere regarding that person. What we ought to do is to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us and to make dua for that person. We do not know, tomorrow we may be in a worse position than that person. Hidayat and being on the straight path is not in our control. Not in our control, it's in the control of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He has our hearts. That person sometimes is so punctual, we find that he strays from the right path. That person that is far away from the right path, we find that comes onto the right path. Tawfiq and guidance in hidayat is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we should be acknowledging this at all times. Another sign is this, that person, this is very, 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 very refined thing that Mashaykh mentioned, another sign of pride is this, that a person carries out an act of humility and he regards himself as carried out an act of humility. For example, I go out of the masjid and I put right the shoes of my musalli and I think to myself that I have carried out an act of humility. Now this is a sign of pride, that I feel it is beyond my dignity to carry out this action. When I carry it out, I feel I have carried out an action of humility. Because I felt that I was proud, I'm a person, it's beyond my dignity to do that. And because I've done that, it is below my dignity to do that, and I regard myself as carrying out something that is completely mean, something that is completely insignificant. Yes, a person that regards himself as humble will carry that action out, and he will regard himself as not even deserving of carrying out that action. The Mashaykh give a very beautiful example, like a person, a poor person is sitting down on the sand, etc., and a rich person goes and sits down on the sand. A person that is poor, nobody will say this person is very humble. Why? Because of his status. He's a very poor person. He is sitting down, and that sitting down on the sand, or not on a mat, sitting down on the side of the road, nobody regards him as humble. But the rich person that sits down there, and he regards this as an act of humility, that is beyond my dignity to be sitting down there. I am doing this as an act of humility, then he has pride. Because he's carrying out an action that is an action of humility. But he thinks himself in his mind that I have carried it out. That means it means I am just below my dignity to be sitting there. And this is a sign of pride the Mashaykh mentioned. Another sign they mention is this, that a person carries out actions of prominence, actions of recognition, actions where people will grant him some credibility, etc. He wishes to carry that out. He wishes to carry that out. There's a position to become an Amir, for example. I want to become the Amir, because Amir will be recognized by the people. He will be held in esteem and respect, etc. So those acts that bring him prominence, acceptance in the heart and minds of people, positions of recognition, he is vying for that, he's looking for that, and he looks out for those actions, and looks out for those positions that if he carries out, then the people will hold him in high esteem. This is also an act of pride and arrogance. This is a sign that a person has pride and arrogance. Another sign is this, that a person feels that I must be afforded exclusive and special treatment. I'm the imam of the masjid, for example, I must be given special treatment. When I walk into the masjid, people must give way. When there's no place in the first serve, people must give way, I must sit down there. I deserve this, I want this. That's an action of pride. It's a feeling of pride that a person wants exclusive treatment. And we find this, sometimes people don't understand. Even in acts of worship we find, sometimes a person is visiting, he's sitting in the first serve throughout his life. He comes one day when he's late. Now he demands that he wants to sit there. This is my place that I'm sitting. Why are you sitting on my place? This is an act of pride. Why? Because you are asking for exclusive treatment here. You should come. You have come late. Sit down in the place that you get. This is what humility demands. This is what simplicity demands. This is what your position demands. Not that you demand that person must leave that place and you come in there. You want exclusive treatment for yourself. In whatever manner, whether it is greeting you, whether it is entertaining you, whether it is giving you preference over others in eating and drinking, whether it is respecting you, etc. And when you don't get that, then your heart is constrained. Your heart is constrained, you feel belittled. You feel this person did not acknowledge my greatness. He did not respect me. Otherwise, you feel that you are great enough, you are superior enough, and these people did not recognize this, and you feel constrained in your heart. This is also a sign of pride. Very, very refined points the Mashaykh has gone into to establish what are the signs of pride. Similarly, a person becomes a murid of some person, and his object is to become a sheikh. His object is not self-reformation. His object is that I must become a leader as well. He's aspiring for that. It means there's greatness in his heart. There's arrogance in his heart. There's pride in his heart. Similarly, the Mashaykh mentioned here that person that is inconsistent as far as his taqwa and piety and righteousness is concerned. He's very inconsistent and imbalanced as far as his piety and righteousness is concerned. He gives undue preference to those things that are not necessary in the Sharia. Those things that are wajib and faraiz, he leave out. Those things that are mustahabbat, he gives great emphasis on that. Great emphasis on those things that are mustahab and preferable. But those things that are faraiz, those things that are his duties, he neglects that. Very good example is this. You find a person that on one hand you find complaints about him as far as his dues are concerned to the next people. On the other hand, we find that person is making charity. He's giving towards the madrasa project. He's giving towards the masjid project. But in reality, that for him was some action that was praiseworthy, mustahab and preferable. On the other hand, he has dues and rights over that person. That person has rights over him, his creditors. He has to pay them. But he gives preference to giving charity. Why? Because those acts will bring him praise and acceptance in the hearts and minds of the people. And here, that which is due to him, to give to his creditors, he is neglecting this.
If you look at his life, as far as the taqwa and piety and righteousness is concerned, there's an imbalance. There's also a great sign of pride in the person's heart. And as I mentioned, Mawlana Thanvi Rahmatullah, I mentioned so strangely, he says pride is that trait and that attribution, that characteristic that leads the person even to kufr, leads the person even to disbelief. Say, look at the disbelief of the Yahud and Nasara, of the Kuffar and Mushrikeen. They were proud and arrogant and haughty, despite acknowledging the authenticity of the prophethood of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They did not want to become subject to the deen of Islam. They did not want to follow Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They wanted to remain proud and haughty. And he says, it is the root of all sins. The root of all sins, in fact, all the other evil characteristics and traits of malice, hatred, jealousy, etc., Hazrat Rahmatullah mentioned, the root of it is pride. And if a person gets this under control and he acknowledges the greatness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it's difficult for that person to carry out any sin. So what does a person do when he feels he has pride? When his pride is so destructive, so detrimental, that even one atom of it will not be allowed to enter into paradise. What does he do? Our Mashaykh mentioned this is worse than an atom bomb. When there's an atom bomb, it destroys everything. Things are finished. But the pride, the atom bomb of pride is such, Allah Pak save me and all of us, that we'll find the disastrous effects even in the hereafter, in the fire of Jahannam. Allah Ta'ala save us. So what do we do when there's a bomb? What do? We call the bomb disposal squad. The bomb disposal squad comes, and thereafter it denotes that, takes that bomb and takes it away. Make sure it does not explode. Similarly, he says that squad is who? The mashayikh. The ulama kiram and the mashayikh that are the spiritual doctors should go to them and tell them and ask them to diagnose our sickness and give us prescriptions to cure ourselves. To go to the mashayikh, alhamdulillah, in every era, in every zamana, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the spiritual doctors, that is the mashayikh. Those people that are linked, the waliullah, the awliyas of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those people that are linked to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, whose hearts are brimming with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they have love for the creation of Allah, and they want to make the creation of Allah beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they make a concerted effort to remedy them from their spiritual maladies of pride, jealousy, hatred, and love of dunya, love of position, etc. These spiritual maladies, they remedy them. So the first step is to go to these people. Another remedy, Hazrat Rahmatullah mentions, is this, that a person goes out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for 40 days and goes out with two specific intentions. One is, he goes out and he follows all the principles of the work. All the usools of the work are followed. And secondly, he goes out with the intention of self-reformation, in Islam. And when he does this, Hazrat Alhamdulillah, Sheikh Zakaria Rahmatullah writes, that Alhamdulillah, we have noticed so many people who have carried this, went out in the path of Allah with this, carrying out, fulfilling the right, fulfilling the principles and the usuls of the work with the intention of self-reformation. We have seen many of them transformed, and this pride and kibar had left them, and they had became very humble servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Besides that, also there are many things, reflections and contemplations a person can do that can help him, assist him to bring down this pride. And one of them is to regard himself as most insignificant. To regard himself as most insignificant, and this is the antidote of what shaitan had said, or antibiotic of what shaitan had said. Shaitan had said, Ana khairun minhu, I am better than Adam alayhi salatu wasalam. We must regard ourselves to be worse and more despicable and more insignificant than all the people on the face of the earth. And we find that this was the quality of our mashayikh and our akabir. Once in the presence of Huzur-e Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Jibreel sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes down and he sees Abu Zar radiallahu anhu, and he tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Prophet of Allah, this is Abu Zar. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells him, O Jibreel, you also know Abu Zar. He says, yes, O Prophet of Allah, he is more famous in the heavens than on the earth. He is more famous in the heavens and the skies among the angels than in the earth. And that is in view of two characteristics and two attributes that he has. One is what? That action that pertains to the heart. And the other one is an ibadah that he makes and a zikr that he makes. The action that pertains to his heart is this, that he regards himself as most insignificant. He regards himself as most insignificant. And who is Abu Zar radiallahu anhu? A very prominent sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but he regards himself as Mr. Nothing. As nothing, most insignificant, most contemptible, most little person that is most humble, person that has no importance, most helpless, is Abu Zar radiallahu anhu. Because of him, regarding himself as most insignificant, this is what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells us, man tawada'a lillah, person that humbles himself for the sake of Allah, rafa'ahu Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate him to such a status that Jibreel alayhi salam is acknowledging his great position. Why? He regards himself as nothing, as Mr. Nobody. And the second attribute is this, that he reads the Surah Ikhlas. He loves to read the Surah Ikhlas abundantly. This is Qul Huwallahu Ahad. Because of these two attributes and characteristics, he is loved in the skies and is recognized by us even in the heavens. Similarly, we find Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi alayh. He mentions about his own position. He says, sometimes I find the angels are envying me. Angels, I find myself in such a high position that the angels of Allah are envying me because of my purity. And sometimes I find that even Shaitan is mocking at me and laughing at me because of my unworthiness. Till we do not take this Iman and Islam to the grave, there's no reason for us to be enjoying or no reason for us to celebrate and to praise ourselves. In other words, we cannot give ourselves a status till we do not leave this world with Iman. Such a great saint of his time. But this is his thinking. This is his mindset. And this is where his focus is, that till I do not leave this dunya with Iman, I cannot regard myself as great, regarding himself as most insignificant, and showing his position. Sometimes this is my position, then the angels, he mentions about the angels envying him, and on one side the shaitan is laughing about him, this is our position. But till we do not leave this dunya with Iman, we cannot express pride and arrogance and acceptance in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. On one occasion in the masjid, it's mentioned the person that is most sinful amongst you should leave the masjid. It's mentioned that Junaid Baghdadi rahmatullahi leaves the masjid first. The one that is regarded as the greatest saint of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In that masjid, at that point in time when it was announced, the person that is most sinful leaves the masjid, he leaves first. This is how he regards himself. This is the humility. This is how low he regards himself. This is how despicable he regards himself as the most sinful person. When it was told to Sirri Siqdi rahmatullahi, a great saint, he says, this is what made Junaid. In other words, this set mindset and this humility had made Junaid rahmatullahi, Junaid Baghdadi. Inshallah, we'll continue. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, give us the tawfiq firstly to recognize and to analyze and to be concerned whether we have the spiritual malady. Secondly, Allah ta'ala, give us the tawfiq to cure ourselves from the spiritual malady that Mawlana Thanvi rahmatullahi mentions, that nearly every single person has some degree of this pride. Some degree. And this is not a sickness that's only restricted to those people that do not have knowledge. This is such a sickness that sometimes comes to even those people, or comes to those people that are even regarded as pious, that are knowledgeable people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala save us all. Wa akhru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.